Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Joe is here, and Bill is here as well. No, he is, sort of. Bill Michaels, you're next on, well, your show. Bill, sorry to hear your personal situation there. Thoughts going out to you and yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. It was unexpected, we'll say.
Yeah, wow. That's got to be a heavy hitter right there. So we wish you the best on that. And
Thanks, Bob.
I know I got the call yesterday, scramble the Jets, come on in. But I know there's a ton on your mind in regards to Mike McCarthy and your initial thoughts.
Well, I said last night I was a little bit surprised that they went ahead and pulled the trigger. I think you take a guy like Tony Dungy, who was pretty adamant as you looked at the game last night going into Sunday Night Football, that said that he thought the organization was classier than that. And then players are speaking out saying, well, you know what? If it needed to be done, it was going to be done. Just go ahead and do it anyway. So, you know, you hear from both sides of the fence. I think I don't know perceptually from inside the NFL how this looks. I know that some coaches would say, hey, you know, this organization is willing to pull the trigger at any point in time, while other coaches will say, you know, Mike McCarthy, he won numerous NFC North championships. He took you to a Super Bowl, four NFC title games. You know, he maybe deserved a little bit better. And I don't think you could, you know, disagree with any one of those arguments. So was I surprised? Yes. But put it this way, if Mark Murphy's the one that pulled the trigger, and Mark Murphy's been the champion for Mike McCarthy, then it probably took a lot for Mark Murphy to see that it needed to be done right here, right now. So I'm not going to debate the decision to do it, because I feel that if they went ahead and did it, they must have felt that things were so bad inside the locker room that they had absolutely positively no choice. And I also say to the other side of the coin, now Aaron Rodgers, for all intents and purposes and for what everybody believes is this disconnect between him and Mike McCarthy, it's Aaron Rodgers' team now. Now we'll see if this thing begins to flow, and now we'll see if all of a sudden the play calling changes, and now we'll see if he starts throwing more accurate passes, and now we'll see if things start to really matriculate for this ball club, knowing that they're out of it, they're really not going to the postseason, but seeing if this thing can put any kind of a smiley face in what was otherwise a dismal season.
Bill, you have talked about this relationship between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers as deep as anybody, if not the deepest. And I know
for 2 years we've talked about it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence there. I don't think either side ever really came out and addressed it directly, but talk a little bit about that, Bill, in terms of, you know, you cover it. I don't, I got my hands full with the Brewers or whatever, but you know, was there enough circumstantial evidence to make that claim?
There was, but when the outside look is we disagree, but we always come to a great resolution, you got to kind of take them at their word. You can't just sit back and say Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are liars. But when you start to ask other players about it, it's what's not said rather than what is said. Mm-hmm. And I've said that all along. Take Randall Cobb, for instance, last night. He was asked, you know, hey, and this was before the firing came down. You know, hey, you know, is a coaching change needed? Mike McCarthy, has he lost the locker room? And all Randall Cobb would say is, that's above my pay grade. I don't have any comment on that. Well, if he hasn't lost the locker room, you would come out and say, that's ridiculous. This is a great coach. We love this guy. We play for this guy, you know. But nobody said that. All they said was, is that's above my pay grade. That's not something I want to get into. You know, what goes on in the locker room stays here. I mean, if you've got a teammate that you're going to defend, you would defend him in the public. But if you've got somebody you're going to bash, you keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
So to me, that spoke louder than anything, listening to a lot of those comments last night after the ball game and what's been building up to this yesterday.
It really is, and it's a great point of what is not said, because you're right, he should have stepped up, or a player does step up and say, come on, man, let's not go there. We love our coach. We all get along here, et cetera.
Right.
So now Joe Philbin takes over, and do you think they pulled the trigger now because it's a benefit to get a head start on the coaching search?
You know, maybe a little bit. I also think it gives Joe Philbin, Mike Pettine, it gives them a little bit of ability to show their wares if they're not going to remain with the team and they're going to go elsewhere for whoever they decide to hire and bring in. Or it gives them the ability to kind of shine without what's considered to be the dark cloud hanging over this team. And it's a wake-up call for a lot of guys inside that locker room that, you know, hey, I don't care if you won a Super Bowl or not. A lot of this stuff is not going to be tolerated. Now, you know, they're not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, But I don't think there's anybody in that locker room at this point, other than maybe a guy like David Bakhtiari and a few of the young guys, that are probably safe. I think everybody's being scrutinized now with a wide open eye to say, okay, you can't blame the head coach anymore. And I, you know what? And quite frankly, I think that also gives them an ability to look at Aaron Rodgers and say, look, we got rid of the head coach. And even after we got rid of the head coach, you still didn't hit throws. You still were on the run. You still were hanging on to the ball. You still were missing open receivers. You still weren't even throwing to open receivers. You know, nothing changed. So who are you going to blame now? You know, is it the scheme or is it you? And so I think this gives them the ability to kind of micromanage and scrutinize things and say, okay, what do we really have going into the offseason and what do we need to fortify? I think they can turn this thing around in a year. I know some people think I'm crazy, but you know what? If you bring in Khalil Mack this year and that defense gets that energizing boost and it looks like the organization's putting everything behind you, who knows? Maybe it's a different season this year and we're talking about this team right now being in the top of the NFC North. But I think the offseason, they're going to have to look for offensive linemen. They're going to have to look for depth on the outside pass rush. They're going to have to look for, again, a secondary guy because Kevin King cannot stay healthy. But I don't think they're really far away. I think they picked up some good pieces that are now aging and now seeing the workings of the business of football. And now they're going to have a full offseason to get ready for next year.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to take a long time. You do have some pieces. If, indeed, Aaron Jones is sort of the real deal back there, you do have a big three. You've got Rodgers, Jones, yeah, and Davante Adams, Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez. There's some pieces here that it wouldn't take long. And with, you know, Gutekunst, his effort to go free agency more than Thompson did, it should, in theory, it should be quicker.
Absolutely. I mean, if he's going to be – plus you're going to have money because you figure you're probably going to cut Nick Perry loose. Unless Clay Matthews is willing to take a massive pay cut to come back, he's pretty much gone. Same with Randall Cobb. So you know those are three big contracts that are going to be right out from underneath you. You're going to gain $3 million and not paying Nick Perry, so you're going to be able to spend that money and go somewhere. So you know you've got some money that's going to be coming off the books. You know you've got some good wide receivers. Look, I agree with you. If you've got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, that's your tandem. You've got good receivers because you're going to get Geronimo Allison back next year. You're probably going to pick up another receiver or two in the draft at the most. But you've got two first-round draft picks that you can either trade or for proven guaranteed players or you're going to use. And the biggest thing right now is it's because people say, well, they're going to draft so far back or they should tank to get a higher draft pick. Look, T.J. Watt was there and they passed on him. He's a talented guy. So it's not so much when you pick, it's who you pick and the talent you're putting around this team and what it fits into your system. And it seems like Gutekunst had a pretty good eye for some talent this year. All those guys are starting to pan out. And don't forget, we'll find out what happened with Cole Madison. He's a big defensive or a big offensive lineman that never showed up for camp, who's away for whatever reason. And maybe they get him back and he becomes somewhat of an X factor in, you know, fortifying the depth of this offensive line. So let's wait and see what this team ends up doing in the offseason before we condemn it to say, well, it's Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson ruined it for decades, because I think they can turn this thing around probably within a season.
Have you observed a more, I want to say dysfunction, but I want to hold just a little shy of that. Disturbing might be a better word. Football game in the stands, on the field, in the bars, in the living rooms than yesterday's Packer game. It just, to me, was stunning. And maybe that's why, you know, and then after the loss, obviously, Mark Murphy probably just hit the end game and just said, hey, one more loss, and he's gone. But did you get that feel, too, that there's just something bad wrong with yesterday's game?
What this team put on the field yesterday was garbage. It was garbage. They came out like they were the cold team, like they were the team that were coming to the elements for the first time, like they didn't want to be there. They played like they felt their season was over, so why go out and do anything? Just go out and show up and let's get the hell out of here. That's the way they play. People are paying good money to sit in the stands and see that crap. And no wonder Mark Murphy was forced to make some type of a decision, because you can't allow that. So maybe, just maybe, you give guys a shot in the arm. And don't forget, because people say that you should just tank. You're not going to ask guys that are fighting for a job, that are fighting for an income, that are fighting for survival in the National Football League, who most likely aren't going to be with his team next year. You're not going to ask them to go out and put on tape a team tanking. You're going to want to go out and play your heart out, play your tail off. So even if you're not with the Packers next year, somebody sees that and says, okay, even in a bad season, this guy's playing his butt off. This is the kind of guy we want on our football team. So you're not going to have people tank. But what they put out there yesterday, for many of your stars, so to speak, that was awful. That was an embarrassing performance, and they all deserve to be embarrassed.
It was just crazy. All right, final thing for you, Bill. Now what? And I know you guys are going to have a ton of time to, you know, break that down. But do you think the organization then under Murphy will go with a younger, maybe an in vogue type of guy, or will it be a, you know, this experienced head coach that can maybe have a little quicker turnaround, or you know, who is it? A younger guy? A new guy, a first-time coach?
That's a great question, Tim. It put it this way, if I did not have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback, I'd probably kind of start the rebuild process. But because you have Aaron Rodgers, can you bring in a younger guy who can come in and say, Aaron, I need you to learn the playbook because this is the system we're going to run? Or are you going to find a younger guy that's going to come in and go, man, Aaron, you're a great quarterback. It's going to be a pleasure to work with you. So what do you think? Because if you do that, you're handing the keys over to the guy that kind of drove your car off the cliff. So I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, a lot of people have talked about Bruce Arians, but I know Bruce Arians has his sights set on working in Cleveland and working with a young Baker Mayfield. But look at a guy like Andy Reid, who makes a comment in Kansas City, say it's a pleasure to work with a quarterback who's willing to listen. I mean, I don't know if he's saying that about Mike McCarthy in the situation here, or if he's saying that about quarterbacks he's worked with in the past. But that statement was loud yesterday when he said that. So I mean, look at an older guy like Andy Reid who wouldn't want a part of an older veteran quarterback who really doesn't want to listen.
I wonder if that's an indictment on Alex Smith or Donovan McNabb,
right?
Or who it might be.
I don't know. We would have to sit down and talk to Andy Reid and say, hey, were you talking about your friend Mike McCarthy? You know, because Mike McCarthy and Andy Reid know each other pretty well. So was that something where he was saying, you know, man, you know, I'd love to work with a quarterback who wants to listen. And him and Patrick Mahomes, they're having fun right now. You know, I mean, a lot of Jared Goff having fun with McVay right now, you know. So these guys are out there just saying, hey, run the offense. Let's do this. I'll make you shine. You make me shine. And the high tide raises all ships. Or do you got a guy that has been well written and documented? So I'm not breaking news here. Do you got a guy, an alpha male in Aaron Rodgers, who just wants to do it his way and wants to have an input and wants to have a say in hirings and firings, and that he's that big of an ego that he's now become somewhat uncoachable from the outside looking in? I don't know. But I know one thing. Whoever they bring in, Tim, there is no tomorrow. This is it. Because you've got him for now 3 to 5 years, and he doesn't look good now. I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's attitude. I couldn't tell you. But you got him 3 to 5 years of what we believe to be quality years. You cannot screw this pick up.
One of our listeners, your listeners, had brought up the point that at Rodgers' age, the playground style of out of the pocket, running around, making plays, directing traffic, doesn't bode well for a quarterback that's up on years. I'm just wondering if that's going to change here for Aaron.
Well, you would like to think so. I mean, if you go by what Aaron said, talking about two reads being downfield and getting to his third check down read, not having enough time to throw the football, I mean, he kind of threw the receivers, the offensive line, the scheme, the coaching, everything under the bus but himself. So I don't know what to be true. Maybe that's where Aaron's frustration lies. And who knows? Maybe Aaron could be 1,000% honest and correct here and giving us a little bit of a foreshadowing or an insight as to what was going on behind the walls of 1265. I don't know. But I would find it hard to believe that everything that has gone wrong is basically the scheme of Mike McCarthy. Because you know it. Joe knows it. I know it. We have all watched games. We've been there in person where we're sitting there going, I can't believe this guy's open 10 yards downfield, and he looks at him and just ignores him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's Aaron. I don't know if it's coach. I don't know what it is, but now Aaron has nobody else to blame. He can't sit that back now and blame all the receivers and blame the offensive line and blame play call because he got what he wanted. So now in these next four games, let's see what he can do. Let's see if he becomes the old Aaron Rodgers. If he does, then kudos to Aaron Rodgers for letting us know that Mike McCarthy's been nothing but problematic for the last 2 years. But if he doesn't, then they have some real soul searching to do.
Bill, you will be at the Lodge Kohler kickoff at 6 tonight, correct?
I will be there. John Kuhn's going to be our guest live and in person. And we're going to talk a little bit about nostalgic with Mike McCarthy and what was it like during that Super Bowl year. We'll talk a little bit about some of the hotels that they stayed in, and then obviously, we'll talk about the firing and what is needed now, because John's going to give us a good insight as to what Aaron is like to work with, what the offense is like to work with, certainly what Joe Philbin's like to work with, and then we'll get a good insight there.
In depth tonight at 6, Lodge Kohler kickoff. Bill, best to you, and hang in there, all right?
Bye, buddy.
All right, there he is, Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Show.
And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. That's weird.
That is weird.
It's really weird. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Oh.